This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city. Today, as you get ready for your weekend, we've told you that if you are heading down south and you are in the Beaumont area, stop by and see us live and in person. We will be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7 at the West Bar and Grill. They take great care of us. They'll take great care of you, too. Mike and his staff are fantastic, although they need to work on their security codes on their phones. Food he's been bringing out, unbelievable. The Popes are front and center. They wanted to make sure we were taken care of. Look, you didn't have to do a darn thing except just open the doors, and everybody's been very, very gracious to us. We appreciate that.
That's right. Hey, real quick, I just want to, give it up for the West. Give it up for the West. I had a couple more people asking about the show tomorrow. I am in Beaumont. Well, the Beaumont area. I don't know how far it is. It's north of Beaumont, about 30 minutes or so.
What's
right?
The name of it again?
I have a show tomorrow. In Village Mills at W.O.'s. It starts at, I have no idea what time. I think it starts at 8. It starts at 9 o'clock at W.O.'s. So if you want to catch a show, I promised one show in the area, this will be it. I don't know that I'll be back for another year. So if you want to go, come out tomorrow. I'm going to tweet out a link to tickets as well. So at Barry is funny.
Funny you should mention tickets, Barry.
Yes.
We know that the Lone Star Showdown, as they're calling it, is at NRG as Rice takes on the Longhorns of Texas. It's tomorrow. It's presented by Smart Financial. And ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to see the primetime college football game between two old Southwest Conference rivals battling it out on Houston's biggest stage at NRG. That would be Rice and UT. If you want two tickets, you can win them right now. Caller 12, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to see the Horns and the Owls at NRG. Caller 12, 713-780-ESPN. Good luck. And if you don't win them, you can buy them. RiceOwls.com/NRG or call 713-348-OWLS. And we will give away one more pair before the end of the show, so just keep your head on a swivel to listen for that one.
Somebody texted the show.
Yes.
And said, I'm here in Beaumont. I wanted to come see y'all at lunch.
Okay.
Started my car, blew my tranny. That was a poor choice of words, sir.
Sure was.
I would have sent that text a lot different.
I was like,
different.
That conversation was two segments ago between Nick and AJ.
I would have definitely worded that tweet or text a lot differently. But I'm not judging you. We'll miss you. But, hey, you know what? Your priorities are your priorities. So
he's got to address his tranny, bro.
Sorry about your tranny. That's oh, boy. Good times.
Anything else you want to bring to the table from any kind of social media otherwise?
No, that's it. That was
so,
it.
We were talking about the fact that the Texans could use some secondary help. We know that Mr. Colvin has been sent on his way after he was targeted 9 times and 8 of those completions for 117 yards and a touchdown got him sent packing. The Dolphins, which seems to be a friendly trade partner of your Houston Texans, have said that Minka Fitzpatrick is free to go out and seek a trade from the Dolphins and get out of Dodge. Minka Fitzpatrick would be great. The only problem is that Bill O'Brien has basically given away their entire stable of valuable draft picks just to get Laremy Tunsil and company from Miami. But it seems like this is kind of going back to what we mentioned earlier in the week, that the Dolphins players just don't like where the direction that they're headed this year. There are people putting down pretty substantial amounts of money to bet the Dolphins go 0-16. So there's a lot of people looking at this being a lost season. A lot of guys want to get out. Minka Fitzpatrick would be great. They just don't have anything to offer up for a guy like
that. Well, it's not even they don't have anything to offer. They don't need him. They already have a free safety. They drafted Justin Reed.
But he's playing. Okay, they've got him listed as a corner.
That's why he wants out, because they made him play out of position. They have him playing everywhere but where he wants to play. And he talked about the fact that he's like, I'm not built to play in the box. I'm not built to stop the run. I'm a free safety, and that's what I should be playing. And that's why he wants out. I don't think this team, that the Texans would be interested in that. And to your point, they don't have anything to trade at this point, so it wouldn't matter even if he was going to play cornerback. But, yeah, he's on their depth chart. He's listed as a free safety. I don't think that they're not interested in that. Even if he was a strong safety, I don't think that they've made that move as well with Gibson. If he was a cornerback, a slot corner, and they could replace Aaron Colvin with a guy like that, sure. But, again, they don't have anything. It's just not his position.
Well, and the thing is, they have to be – but the reason why I bring it up, too, is because they have to be looking for help, right? With sending Colvin on his way, the guy they're bringing from the Browns, I don't expect anything big out of him. That the rumor was before week one that Orlando Scandrick was going to be brought in so they could see if he had anything left. They basically passed on him in week one so that they can get him on a week-to-week basis. Thought he'd be coming back to at least get a tryout before the game this weekend. That hasn't happened yet, but they have to be looking for some help with their corners.
Well, I mean, they drafted their help in the second round in Lonnie Johnson. So that's the guy that is going to have to step up and earn his second-round draft status.
Well, we'll see because, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I don't think that Minshew's the guy you got to worry about slinging it all over. But with that, you also look at it, and he had a pretty effective day when he came in against Kansas City. I don't know if he'll be able to maintain that, and now that they get some tape on him as well. But we know that the Texans, with their schedule and everything that they have to face, they've got to address the fact that their secondary is their biggest weakness next to with their offensive line, which we've highlighted along the way.
Yeah, well, if you spend a second-round draft pick on a guy – and you have a need at the position that you drafted him at, he should be ready to go.
Sure, but we said the same thing. We're talking about offensive line. Well, they spent a first round and a second round on offensive linemen, and they didn't see the field either. And they
we know
Howard's got the finger right, but I'm saying Sharping was a scratch. You know, basically a scratch. So I want to at least.
But wasn't like Sharping said, on the injury report as well?
I didn't see him on the injury report.
Okay.
And then if you were anywhere near concerned or caring about this entire A-B scenario that keeps playing itself out like a soap opera, now sources are saying the NFL is not placing him on the exempt list, so he will be eligible to play for the Patriots against those Dolphins this weekend. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm just tired of the whole thing.
Did you see where it came out that the Raiders didn't know about the lawsuit? And the Patriots didn't know about the lawsuit.
I saw the Patriots said they didn't know.
No, the Raiders didn't know either. Literally nobody knew about this lawsuit. Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown kept this from everybody. And I think that's – when you're going out and you're saying release me and you're signing a new deal with the Patriots, I feel like that's a bad look if you're not disclosing that in any way, shape, or form to a team that you're going to sign with. If I'm the Patriots, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, look, you knew about this. And you chose not to tell us. You chose not to tell your previous team.
That's Drew Rosenhaus, though.
That's a bad look, man.
But you know what? Everybody outside of New England is happy as hell if that's the case. Because they want to stick it to the Patriots. Because that's a Patriot thing to do. And they were sitting there thinking like, hey, look at the steal we got with AB. A lot of people would like
to see. But here's the problem. If you're Drew Rosenhaus and you're out here keeping things like that in this particular case – if I'm any other team in the NFL and the Patriots, how do I know that this isn't going on with your other clients and you're not telling me?
I bet you
all. So now, if I'm an NFL team dealing with a Drew Rosenhaus client, there's a provision in the contract that says if it comes out that you're in some sort of legal trouble and you withheld it from us, contract is null and void.
Not going to happen. Because no one's going to accept that.
Well, this is the precedence that they're setting when you don't tell people about it.
I think every agent would do that. I mean, that's his job.
Would.
That's his job.
They absolutely would.
To make the best to get the best possible contract for Antonio Brown. That's his job.
It's his job to get the contract, and I'm not suggesting you don't go out and get the contract, but you still need to disclose that we're probably going to be sued in court. It's not criminal. It's civil.
No, you don't.
You
know, you don't at all because you're trying to get the most money for your client. You don't work for the team. You work for your client.
You think you own the Patriots, if you're Bill Belichick or you're Robert Kraft, you're okay with the fact that they didn't disclose that they're about to be sued in civil court over three separate rape allegations.
They may not be okay with it. They have to be. They have to be okay with it.
Because here's the thing. First of all, Rosenhaus represents the cream
de la crème. Current environment that the NFL is in with everything that's going on with all of the spousal abuse and all the other rape allegations, you think that they're just cool with that. Oh, well, he doesn't have to tell us that.
No, I don't.
I'm sure the NFL would want to know.
Wrong owner to reference in that scenario, too. You think Robert Kraft came up before that's, everything came out in terms of the massage parlor and said, hey, you know what, NFL and everybody, I got something you might want to be aware of. No, we're trying to sweep it under the rug. And if you're Drew Rosenhaus, and
yeah,
you,
but
represent,
Robert Kraft,
if you represent some of the guys with the ability that he represents, some of the top-shelf guys,
that's not a fair
not
comparison.
You're not going into a team because
it's not
a legal issue right now.
How are you going to say it's the same thing? He's not buying a team. He already owns the team.
He's a shady guy, too.
It doesn't matter.
He's not going to offer that stuff up.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
He's not trying to go buy a team and then while hiding some legal stuff that's going to happen after he purchases a team.
You're telling an agent who's taking money out of his own pocket that he should have been up front. Agents are shady.
It doesn't matter.
And they also want their client to get as much money as possible. You think he comes to the table and
I
goes,
can't even believe
hey,
you're
New
defending
England,
this.
Sign this. No, I can't believe you're saying that Drew Rosenhaus should go, hey, guys, let me put all my cards on the table. AB's got a couple of things that may or may not come out. And it's not with any kind of police allegations. It's a civil suit with someone working it out for financial matters, not for any legalities.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I think because it's a civil case, it makes its significance a little bit less. I think perhaps if it was a criminal case, maybe that's even more of a worse look on Drew Rosenhaus if he kept that, just because of the, you know, just like the whole Me Too movement and everything that's going on in the NFL and sports in general. But a guy like Drew Rosenhaus is going to get those contracts regardless. He's going to have a bunch of NFL players that say, you know what, Drew, I want you to represent
And you
me.
Ruin your reputation in the process.
How?
If you owned the Cowboys and Drew Rosenhaus, well, that's a bad example. If you owned, they don't care if they hire criminals.
I tell you what, though.
If you're the Texans, would you trust Drew Rosenhaus to bring you a client now?
Absolutely.
It depends on the client.
I'll tell you why.
The guy to the table that fills a need. And another bad example, because you know that the Texans are so squeaky clean that they don't
want
any bad
guys. That's my point, though. And now they're like, well, you're out here hiding
lots of other teams in the league are
going
to go, I don't care what your reputation is. If you're bringing a guy that can help my football team get better, I'm going to talk to you about that guy.
Well, there's no justification whatsoever for keeping that from a team that's about to invest $9 million in you and give you a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance.
You're crazy if you don't think that Drew Rosenhaus is looking for a multi-year
deal. Oh, I know what Drew Rosenhaus is doing.
So that's why he wouldn't tell them. That's exactly why he
would. Well, let me ask you this.
Well,
do you think
it's his credibility. He doesn't have to tell them, but
you
I think
the Patriots are never going to deal with Drew again? They're going to deal with him again.
Well, they
He's
have to.
He's a lawyer
that's,
and
that's
an
my
agent.
Whole point.
His reputation
and
is
what I'm
shady.
Saying is that there's going to be provisions now where they're like, yeah, well, remember what you did to us with Antonio Brown, and now he's getting sued for rape? We're going to need something in the contract that says if that happens again, we have an out clause.
Well,
hey, you know what you don't need an out clause from? You don't need an out clause from Get Upside. Because you're going to be happy if you sign up with Get Upside, unlike the Patriots and Antonio Brown. You're going to get money for stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. I stopped on the way in. I had to get gas. I filled up with Get Upside. I had a listener text the show earlier, $70 in their account. If you don't have $70 in your Get Upside account, it's because you're not using Get Upside. Guys, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you fill up. You can get up to 35% cash back every time you eat. It's super easy to install. I did it at a gas pump. It's that simple. You just put it on your phone. You're not locked into any contracts. You're not locked into any long-term commitments. It's just you get upside and getting cash back. And it's so easy to use. Like, all right, check this out. You're already pulling up to the pump, pumping the gas, putting in your debit card. You do all that. You get the receipt. All you got to do is take a picture of that receipt, and it uploads it. And within 24 to 48 hours, you get the cash back into your account. And if you have a problem, like I had a problem with one of my receipts, all you got to do is in the app, you just go to help and you reach out to customer service and they take care of you. I get a response within minutes of submitting a ticket to Get Upside. It could not be easier and I could not be more happy that I'm actually getting cash back from my purchases. So guys, do yourself a favor right now. Go put it on your phone. You're not locked in. And remember, ABC 13 did a special on it. So it's a legit app and it works. Go download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show rolls on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. We're all in-house at the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont with all of the great peeps that we love to see and miss so much when we don't get down here. It's football season. We're going to be coming down here on the regular now, so always great to see everybody come out and support the shows, the station, and everything else.
Yay!
We appreciate y'all as well. So we're going to take it till 4. Blitz is here in the building. AJ and Fred are here as well, so we'll have some fun up until 7, and we'll do it again, of course, throughout football season. That's always a good thing. So we were talking about the NFL previous to this break and getting into...
Got heated.
You know what? It's just a discussion.
I mean, it's okay if y'all were wrong. It's cool. You know,
it's what... It's normally the way you go with things.
Hey, you know.
But it's fine. So we don't...
Tis what it is.
You know, I think the big thing for us, too, is in the past, we've done picks. But we get so much about... We like getting into other things and the stories and everything like that. And we leave the good picks and breaking down all the games to the Blitz because those are the experts that get RJ Bell and they get the spreads involved. And for those guys that get into the gambling thing, you can always check that out as well. But we always kind of have some things on our mind when we look at the next week of the NFL season. You've said in terms of a schedule, it's not always great. But from a Texans perspective, what are you expecting to see Sunday when you look at this Jaguars team coming into NRG?
I expect to see J.J. Watt register in the box score.
I'll tell
you that. Cam Robinson is out. Gardner Minshew is the quarterback. He should have at least a sack. But I expect a big game from him. I expect the offense to be able to move the ball. If you can, because that's a good Saints defense that they played. And I felt like, you know, again, Bill O'Brien called a really good game. So I feel like that should continue. I feel like this should be a good win for them. They're at home. They've got it. You've got, if you're this Texans team, aren't you confident even though you lost?
I think
you went on the road. You pushed the Saints. They got a little lucky. You also got a little unlucky because your DC had a bad call at the end of the game and gave too much of a cushion to Drew Brees. But at the same time, as a player, you know the coach screwed up, but as a player, you feel like, you know what? We played well enough to beat that team, well, and that's a Super Bowl caliber team.
Let's also be honest when you look at the secondary, because you talk about everybody worrying about the secondary. Well, you're not going to get picked apart worse from Minshew than you are from Drew Brees. And so if Drew Brees got the best of that, and that's what he put up, and you look at Minshew coming in, trying to get used to being the starting guy for the first time as a rookie quarterback, and hopefully Romeo has some schemes for him, but you would think, okay, it can't get any worse defensively, and you're right. They've got to come in with a world of confidence offensively because they ran the football.
Yeah.
Their running backs were effective, and that was a huge question mark with Miller out. Their receivers looked fantastic in terms
Deshaun
of
Deshaun Watson.
You know, you can look at what Watson was able to do, and you know how special he is. But even after all of the praise that D-Hop got for not dropping any balls, he dropped a few balls, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't drop them in big-time situations. He came up big. He made plays. Will Fuller made plays.
Yep.
So you know you've got all your weapons.
Who's getting the start in the slot? Is it going to be QT or is it going to be Kenny Stills?
It all depends on how much of the playbook Stills has been able to grasp, because they said in week one they were only going to put in a few certain plays for him and not ask him to do too much or try and remember too much of the playbook. But I think as you get, again, this is week two. You've had a full week. You've been at home. You've been trying to get things under your belt. I think if Stills is up to speed, he's a veteran receiver in this league that has proven to be dependable with his injury situation and with his ability to not only be an outside guy, but he's played the slot. I think it would be Stills in my mind.
I would too. You know, I think you have to reward him for coming up big at the end of that game. Yes, he doesn't know the playbook completely. And who starts isn't always who finishes the game.
Sure,
and who always gets the most targets or who always gets the most reps, snaps, or minutes. But at the same time, guys like to be able to say, oh, I started or whatever. That means something to them. So I think you kind of reward him for coming through big time at the end of the game. given the situation and how new he was to the team. I would do that. What has QT done that he's earned that
but
the
I
right
think
to
something
start?
Something else that you were on to with your tweet the other day is the fact that just like QT was a full participant in practice, light a fire under his butt, too, and say, guess what? Nothing is promised in this world, and it's certainly not promised in the NFL. And if you're going to struggle with injuries, and we don't know when you're going to come back, and we don't know how long you're going to be effective, and we've got a guy behind you that is only behind you because we just traded for him that is still fully capable, I want to challenge the rookie because I don't know what I'm getting and what kind of toughness I've got to deal with and where he's going to be if this is going to be a thing for the rest of his career, whereas Stills is a guy that I can rely on that's going to be a heck of a weapon for a quarterback that needs all the weapons he can get.
Yeah, I would start him. Like you said, played long. He's been on the field more. Mm-hmm. He came through in the clutch, and you know what? QT, to me, needs to earn his favor back.
I agree.
He needs to be pushed, and it's like, all right, well, if you want to start, kid, how about one, be on the field, and then two, produce when you're out there? Because there's no question I think he'll produce when he's out there. QT, he's got the skill set. Just be on the field. You're okay. No good if you're not on the field.
I completely agree. So with all the things that we said were positives with the weapons, I ask you, what are they going to do, and who are they going to go to at tight end? Because we know that with the pass rush – and all the constant pressure that Watson is under. In the past, the tight end has been his safety valve. Now, you've added a Duke Johnson that could give you some of that out of the backfield, but he needs all the help that he can get. And I think they got to figure out real quick what they're going to do with the tight end position and do what they can do to make sure that they can work in, you know, the right guy.
This is a team that has always been looking. I mean, Owen Daniels was the one guy that was consistent on this team from the tight end position. Outside of that, this is a team that's always been chasing a decent tight end. I think that continues. None of these guys have really shown to be consistently adequate, consistently good at that position. I feel like it's kind of like with fullback. You're like, I mean, okay, if you get something out of that position, great. But when you have the four receivers that they have plus Carlos Hyde emerging and Duke Johnson as a threat on third down, I don't think that you even look at tight end until you get through all that. I mean, think about that on third down, third and eight. Are you even considering the tight end at this point? You've
right
got
now,
DeAndre Hopkins, you've got Will Fuller, you've got Stills and QT, and then you've got Duke Johnson in your backfield. I don't think you're looking at tight end.
But again, a lot of times
especially rookies or young guys.
As you go through your progressions, you might not be looking for him right off the top, but when he's getting pressured, you know that you need somewhere where you can just unload the
football.
That's
Duke Johnson.
And I think it is. That's why I mentioned it. But I also think you spent a lot of high draft picks on tight ends in the last couple of years, and you need at least one of them to step up because, as you mentioned, for so many years, tight end was a big position for this team, and you went through some guys that showed that they were capable of doing what they needed them to do, and now they're all gone.
Yeah.
And you need some production out of the tight end. And the other thing you want to do if you want to avoid the sacks is let's start doing more play action. Let's start moving them around, getting them out of the pocket so that you have some planned play action so you can find some things with movement that the defense isn't exactly ready for.
I mean, obviously play action in the NFL is how you get blitzers and getting the blitz. How you it's one way to beat the blitz, right?
Sure.
Obviously. The problem is from what I saw in game one, when they would fake a handoff or do a play action, it took so long after that for a play to develop that the O-line wouldn't hold up. So I'm of the mindset that if you, instead of play action to beat the blitz, line up in a shotgun and take a couple more steps, take a three-step drop from the shotgun. At least you're distancing yourself from a front seven that you know is going to break through that porous offensive line, like they did last week. That's what I would do to beat the blitz. Is I would just give myself space and give Watson space, because the further back he has and the more space he has, the more he can create with his legs. But this whole gimmicky stuff that they do sometimes, I think it takes too long to develop with as bad as this offensive line is right now.
All right, so those are things to kind of keep an eye on as we watch this team develop, because I think some of those things hopefully will get better with them getting more reps in games, but we'll see how it goes. It's Texans and Jaguars from NRG on Sunday, so we'll keep an eye on that. We've got a half hour to go on the show. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. We do it all right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. It's the final half hour of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont. Yeah. Great that we're down here. We're going to be coming down here on the regular. We love to see all the great people down here in the 409 hanging out with us. With that being said, we'll get more of the stuff coming out from right here at the West Bar. But as we do on Fridays, we are joined by Sarah Barshop. Sarah Barshop covers the Texans for ESPN as the beat writer. And you can follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter and also read all of her columns as part of ESPN's Texans coverage. Sarah, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Of course. Great to be with you guys.
So we know that obviously coming out of that Saints game, the whole issues with the secondary, Colvin let go. As you see it playing out, how does Lonnie Johnson play in? And are there any other sightings in the near future where they might be looking at other corners to take a look at? We had heard Orlando Scandrick previously.
I think they'll maybe move Roby inside and have Lonnie Johnson play outside. I think that probably allows them to use the best of his skill set and maybe take away some of the issues they had. Because Roby, I thought, played pretty well against the Saints. So I think we could see that. But as you saw by them deciding to let Colvin go, I think it is a week-to-week thing. They'll see how they do in this game, and then they'll evaluate and see if they do need more help or if those changes they make will do the job this year.
Sarah, speaking of Lonnie Johnson, what was the reason he didn't play? Is Bill O'Brien or Romeo Crennel, were they skeptical of his skill set and his ability to defend? And if so, what does that say about them letting Colvin go and using him?
I think, in general, they just don't like playing rookies. They think that, I mean, Bill has said that, and Romeo, too, he always says, I don't like rookies. They don't, you know, we're still teaching them. They're still growing now. Of course, there are exceptions. Last year, Justin Reed played a lot as a rookie. But I think that is an exception. I don't think that's normal, so I think they just try to ease him in. If you don't want to have to depend on a rookie, you probably don't want to, but obviously they don't really have a choice, and they're going to see what they get from him this week.
Well, I was going to ask you, because that's the Jeff Van Gundy theory in the NBA, where rookies, no matter how good they are never going to play, and I wondered if Bill O'Brien had the same philosophy, because now I turn the tables to the offensive line and say, we knew that Howard was dealing with the finger-slash-hand injury, so we didn't expect him, but Sharping didn't play. Obviously, the offensive line struggled. Are those young guys looking to see the field in the near future here coming up against Jacksonville?
I think we'll see Howard this week. He wasn't listed as questionable on the injury report today, which tells you there's probably a good chance that he's going to start at left guard. Now, I think with Sharping, they just decided that they'd rather have Zach Fulton play. They'd rather have the veteran presence. It doesn't mean that won't change this season as the season goes on, but I don't think Fulton was the problem against the Saints, so I think we'll probably see him start again. You probably want some continuity from game to game instead of making decisions quickly week to week.
I wasn't upset that they let Aaron Colvin go. I felt like Shontrell Henderson never needs to see the light of day on the field again. Any thoughts on that? I mean, is this who they're going? Is this the right tackle of the Houston Texans for 2019, or could we see somebody else slot in there?
I think there's a chance we could see Roderick Johnson. I don't think you want to move Titus Howard just because he's played on the left side and he's played guard all of training camp and the offseason program. I don't think you want to mess with that. We kind of saw that last year with Martinez Rankin. Because of injuries, they had to move him around a lot, and I don't think that helped him. So I don't think he wanted the power, but I think we could see Roderick Johnson. Now, whether it's going to be this week or they let Henderson continue and see what he can do remains to be seen. But based on what we've seen from Bill O'Brien so far, it wouldn't surprise me to see anyone get a quick hook.
So we look at the offense. They were able to move the ball. They did a lot of positive things. They were able to run the football. But I want to go to the receiver position. We saw that QT was practicing this week. We also saw some good things out of Stills. What are we going to see in terms of Stills and QT, and who starts in the slot, and who's going to get a majority of the snaps as we look at the receiving corps this weekend?
I would think Stills does. I was kind of surprised. Bill Ryan was asked about Stills. I believe it was on Tuesday. And before the question was even finished, he quickly said, like, oh, no, we're going to see more of Stills. That was just, you know, the playing time he got was because of how little he had been in Houston. He just got here, we didn't have time to teach him everything, but he basically said, I see a lot more playing time for him. Obviously, in that scenario, you're not going to take snaps away from DeAndre Hopkins or Will Fuller, so I think that just means that it's probably QD that gets less or DeAndre Carter gets less. Now, obviously, it's a good problem to have, but I would think that they're going to try and give Penny Stills as many reps as they can, just because they saw what he and Deshaun did in very limited playing time on Monday night.
Sarah, before we look ahead anymore to the Jags, I wanted to ask you, I was waiting all week to ask you this about this game on Monday night, and specifically that last play on defense. What was said in that locker room, or what was said, what justification did Romeo Crennel give for lining up the defense and playing that way on that last play that set up the game-winning field goal?
Well, Bill O'Brien said that they were trying, or both of them actually, Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien kind of said they were trying to keep them out of field goal range, but it didn't work. I mean, I think that was maybe, I think the Colvin probably, was that was not exactly what Romeo Crennel drew up, but he said, like, you can't let them, with such a close game, you can't even let them go into field goal range, so that's what they were trying to stop, and they were obviously trying to stop a touchdown, too. So Romeo made it sound like that's not exactly, it didn't play out exactly as they had drawn up the plan, so I don't think that was the intention.
Oh, interesting. So essentially, Romeo Crennel was wanting them to play press coverage, and it was Aaron Colvin that made the decision to back off 10 or 12 yards and give up the field goal.
I think they were trying to stay out of field goal, trying to keep them out of field goal range, but I think it had more to do with the execution, play not being executed more than what Romeo Crennel had drawn up.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm not arguing with you, I'm just wanting to state a fact that they still dropped three people in the prevent at that time as well, which also didn't make sense. But, all right, it's good to know at least they had some sort of explanation for it.
All right, Sarah, what about JJ? Because we know that he said it's on him, and no tackles, no sacks, no nothing. He says he's got to do better. How do they make sure that he is more effective in the defensive schemes as they go forward on Sunday?
Well, already, this game at least, Ngakoue is not, he's ruled out with a hamstring injury, so I think that will, that's what JJ Watt, my bad. I've been thinking so much about the offensive line that when I think about getting pressure on the quarterback, I automatically think about that. I think they need some, he needs some help, right? Like when Jadeveon Clowney is there, that takes off some of the double and triple teams. Now, after the game, JJ said, that, you know, he's always faced double and triple teams, which I believe is true, but I don't think it helps that teams know that they can really just focus on him. But he sounded like a man on a mission when we talked to him on Wednesday. Someone asked him about the stats thing, and he was like, we all have bad games. I've had games, bad games before. I'll have them again. But it sounded like he was determined to not make that two games in a row.
How long, though, before it becomes up that the Clowney factor is an issue and that, based on what they got for him and the fact that everything you said is true, then why did they have to get rid of him this year? Why wouldn't they just hang on to him and realize with the franchise tag for another year, at least he would provide that other rush effort from the other side that makes sure that people have to pay attention to more than just JJ?
I think it's two separate things, right? Like, I don't think Bill O'Brien is saying that they don't believe Clowney's a good player. I think they just didn't want him on the team long term, and because of that, that caused a relationship to sour, right? Like, Clowney wanted to be paid, and I think that when he didn't, that kind of, I don't think it was as easy as saying, okay, Clowney, we're gonna franchise tag you, we're not gonna pay you long term, just play for us, like, maybe we'll franchise tag you again next year. Like, I think it got to the point where that just wasn't a realistic situation. Now, I think it was only one game, but I think as we get a couple games in, if that's still the case, I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, what are you missing when not having Clowney, especially if you don't have anyone to replace him?
Yeah.
So I think it's totally a fair question, but I don't think there was a scenario once the franchise tag the deadline passed and Clowney didn't get that new deal. I have a feeling that he wasn't going to come back and play under that franchise tag.
All right, before we get your prediction for the game, what is the status of Deshaun Watson in that back? We saw him a little banged up throughout the game. He's been a full participant in practice all week. Is he showing any ill effects from that injury, and should he be ready to go on Sunday?
Bill O'Brien said that it's something that shouldn't keep him out. He should be good to go. I think it was just sore. I mean, he landed kind of awkwardly, and they were searching him out during the game. But You know, Deshaun Watson played with injuries, very serious injuries to his lungs and his ribs last year and took a bus to Jacksonville. So I don't think anything like that will keep him out.
All right, break it down for us, Sarah. We know we always rely on you to give us the insight, the dirt, and what you see happening on Sunday, the home opener. It's the Jags and the Texans.
I think it's a Texans win. I think I picked them 26-17 or something like that. We'll see the offense continue to roll. I think the offensive line will look better just because the Jaguars' pass rush is missing Ngakoue, and I think that with another week with Laramie Tunsil in this offensive line, maybe some more continuity, they look a lot better, and Deshaun has more time to throw. So I think they'll win, beat the Jaguars, especially because it's at home.
There you go. We appreciate your insights. She is the expert. Follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. Also, check out all of her articles as she writes for ESPN. And make sure on ESPN.com you get the latest and greatest following your Houston Texans. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Sarah Barshop joining us on The Usual Suspects. We want to make sure that we let you know in the next segment we're going to give away that final pair of tickets for the Horns and the Rice Owls.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, I do want to tell you people one last time, as my guys are trying to help me out here, about the fact that Infuse Energy is the place you should go for all your energy. I switched to Infuse Energy about 3 years ago. I just renewed with them, and I can tell you why. They saved me thousands of dollars off my previous energy company. They can do the same thing for you. I passed on that kind of information to my listeners, and they always ask me, what's the name of that company again? It's Infuse. Infuse Energy. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get. So if you want the best, you go to them. It's simply put, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you save $25. You're going to save more than that because they're going to make sure that they get the best rate and the best deal they possibly can for you and your family or your business. And they're going to do that first and foremost by asking you as many questions as you ask them. You call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You're going to get a real person on the phone, not an automated system. And they're going to ask you those questions because they want to pinpoint it to get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. They also want to be honest along the way. So that means if in the course of trying to research everything, they find out there's another company out there that's giving you a better rate, they're going to let you know who they are, because they want to be honest and they want to be trustworthy. That means you may not go with them now, but you'll go back to them because you can trust them like a trusted friend. That's just the way they do business. So check them out. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the West Bar and Grill in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from Beaumont, from the West Bar and Grill. Fantastic spot. We appreciate the Popes being front and center, and Donna, and obviously setting us up for our first visit back here. We will be back again. We love it. Understand the history of the fact that ESPN 97.5 and the whole station connection with Beaumont started back in this place way back in the day, and now we're back here again. So we couldn't be more excited, and we'll be here throughout football season periodically. So that's great. We're going to be here, and like I said, and then the Blitz will take you till 7. As part of what we were talking about for the big weekend, we know that the Rice Owls and the Longhorns are playing at NRG tomorrow, and we want to make sure we take care of the suspects, so we want to make sure you get one final chance to win 2 tickets to the game tomorrow. Caller number 11 right now, 713-780-3776. You get 2 tickets to the game tomorrow to see that primetime college football matchup between the two old Southwest Conference rivals. It's Rice, it's Texas, it's on the big stage. And if you're caller 11, 713-780-ESPN, you win a pair of tickets to that game. If you don't win them, you can get them. RiceOwls.com/NRG or 713-348-OWLS.
Go get him. Go, go, go.
Hootie who?
Hootie hoo!
And the horn.
There were some things I wanted to discuss, and I forgot some of them. I do know AJ showed us a picture of himself with a Dallas Keuchel beard.
Yeah.
And he looked like Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the old wrestler. I didn't think that. Nick said he looked racist with a goatee and hair, but with that Dallas Keuchel, I think you looked way more racist with that beard and no hair. It was a very, you had a very WWE vibe. It was a manly beard, though. It was very impressive, but it looked like you said some things you regret. Just
isn't that
probably
a daily? Isn't that kind of a daily thing?
By the way, we missed Lotto. He said he was here. He said, what up, fellas? It's Lotto. I came in for a few, and I sat in the back. I had to get back to work. Maybe next time I get a chance to introduce myself. Best show on earth. Appreciate you, Lotto. Thanks for being out here, man. We're sorry we missed you. Next time, right? Next time. That's it. That's
you
all I got.
You had some other stuff you wanted to get to.
No, that was it. I just wanted to read the text and comment on that sweet-ass beard AJ had.
So you're doing.
Are you growing that out again, AJ? Is that what you said? You're going to try? You're going to grow it out, the beard? No? Okay. It's gray. Oh, yeah, you don't grow that out gray. That then you just look like a guy that got kicked out of a biker gang or something. Yeah, don't do that.
So you're going to be doing this whole Barry Around the World tour again, right?
Yes. Tomorrow I'm at WO's in Village Mills. Thank you, thank you. The Popes are going to be there. Everyone's telling me that the place is a bit sketchy. I don't know that for a fact. Doesn't matter. Somebody was saying, oh, man, it's going to be crazy. I was like, look, I did a show in spring where there were three biker gangs having a meeting. And that was all that was there. It was like Hell's Angels and two other gangs. Trust me, I'm not worried about a bunch of milk sniffers in East Texas. All right? That doesn't scare me at all. So that should be fun. And then tonight I'm at Stats off Luetta in Tomball. So come by if you have some time.
So
it's going to be fun.
You drove down here.
I drove down here.
You're driving back.
I'm driving home.
You're driving down here.
I'm going to change and drive to Tomball, do that show, and then I'm going to be back here tomorrow for the show, or back north of here tomorrow.
Okay.
You're all over the place.
Good thing I got a car that gets good gas mileage. It's a really good thing.
And you were doing this in a big-ass four-door Chevy truck.
In a truck,
right?
Yeah.
Was it a four-door? No, it
was, it was a four-door. Oh. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't run no two-door truck. I don't know what that means. Stupid.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but we normally pick on Florida for most of the crazy human stories that come out. But in North Carolina, a woman was arrested after she allegedly tied up her husband and cut off his penis.
Oh, that's
in a rage of anger.
As the kid runs by. That's good. Good choice, Joel.
I used the proper term.
Oh, my God, Joel. Why? Oh.
It's okay. So here's the other thing.
If you could see the list of topics on our document, and Joel's like, no, I'm going to go with this one. With the kids here.
Barry, Victoria Frabutt, and I can't make it up, F-R-A-B-U-T-T, was arrested by the local authorities Tuesday morning for allegedly attacking her husband, James Frabutt. Spokesperson for the sheriff's office said in a press release the officers were called to the couple's home before 4 a.m. when they arrived. She had pulled out a knife, tied him up, and cut off the junk. So you can only imagine that they've had some issues. Things didn't work out well. They said they checked with the medical department and they weren't sure that they could reattach.
What?
Yeah.
How do you, okay, I have so many questions. Like, how do you get subdued enough to be tied up?
By your wife?
Yeah. Now, was she like, hey, baby, you want me to tie you up? Or was this like, what's that over there? And then tied him up when he wasn't looking. Because I feel like if my wife was mad at me, one thing I'm going to avoid is getting tied up by her. Because then that's when the knives come out and you lose stuff.
Well,
I'm trying to. It's probably a little late now. He's already yelled out penis once and Just it's over with.
She's looking right at you. You did it.
So I mean, you've already said it, Joel.
Why not? Hey, look. When we start worrying about the fact that it's in North Carolina, one, they weren't sure that they were able to reattach. And two, they're still trying to find out why she did it.
So she didn't have a reason? She's just out here just...
The authorities were still trying to find out. It was
junk.
Unclear what the meaning, why she was angry enough to do what she did. In the hours following the incident, she was charged with malicious castration.
So is there like a non-malicious castration where you're like, I love you, and you're like, but it wasn't malicious. I said I loved you.
Now here's the other one.
That's
she
weird.
Also charged with
like aggravated murder.
If
you murder me, I'm going to be aggravated. You don't have to say aggravated murder. We know you were aggravated. That's why you murdered.
She was also charged with kidnapping. Does that mean she took it with her?
Oh my God. I don't think you know how babies work.
I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're gonna, it's one thing to be charged with malicious castration.
I'm pretty
sure she was also charged with kidnapping.
I'm pretty sure if she was, it would have been the other stuff that she would take with her. That's how babies work.
Oh, I have no idea. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that. I'm still trying to figure that all out.
There's the bullets and the gun. All right, you would want to take the bullets. I don't know. This
is
so
awkward. But if she took the little fella
right
with
now.
Her.
You know,
in Carolina, you get caught kidnapping.
It's rare that I'm uncomfortable, very uncomfortable right now.
That's
so uncomfortable. Of all the stories that we could have discussed, this is what you chose here.
I gave you
now.
I gave you the table. I said, go ahead. What else do you want to talk about?
Oh, I know next
nothing.
Time.
That's all I want to talk about.
They're like, we're live at church. And Joel's like, so there's 53 whores. Like, okay, I'll pick the topics next time. Jeez.
So, you know, Sunday I'll be going to church. I want to make sure that everything's good to go for next week. So I hope your shows go well.
You know what's crazy is I've done comedy shows in places like this, like bars or whatever, with kids. And I was like, nope, you knew what was going on. But this is radio.
No, this is an opportunity to hammer me, so that's why you did it. Let's be honest.
The hammer! How'd I do it? How'd I do it, Joel? The people demand the hammer. Give them the eye, too. Do the eye. I want everybody to see the eye. Do the eye, Joel. Come on, show them the eye. Show them the eye that you don't do.
No, we're not doing that. We want to thank y'all for being a part of the Usual Suspects as we come down for our first trip to Beaumont. It won't be our last. We always appreciate all you guys coming out as suspects and supporting the show. We already told you the Blitz is coming up next. So whatever you do this weekend, we hope you hammer them and get $8.43. I did it and I win it. Let's go. Y'all have a great weekend. Barry and Nick up, Joel.
There it is.
ESPN 97.
Do the eye.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
This is ESPN 97.5.